Welcome to the Digital Identity Digest, the audio companion to the blog at Spherical Cow Consulting. I'm Heather Flanagan, and every week I break down interesting topics in the field of digital identity, from credentials and standards to browser weirdness and policy twists. If you work with digital identity but don't have time to follow every specification or hype cycle, you're in the right place. Let's get into it. Hey, everyone, and welcome back. Today, we're diving into a problem that is way bigger than it sounds, and that's delegation. And if that word makes your eyes glaze over or you're not quite understanding the concept of why would I be talking about this, well, hang on. Because without fixing the problem of delegation, everything from caregiving to AI agents managing your bank accounts, all of that is basically held together with, you know, virtual duct tape and prayers. So let me talk about what delegation is and why it's a mess. Digital systems were built on a really simple idea. You have one user, you have one identity, you have one device, you have one intent, which is nice, simple, predictable, manageable, and that's fantastic, except those words do not describe humans very well at all. In the real world, you know, delegation is you hand your kid your phone to check into their orthodontist appointment, or you ask your coworker to approve an invoice while you're stuck on a plane. Or you let your partner log into the power company's website because you forgot the password and the bill's overdue. Delegation is something we do every day, online and offline. It's how families work. It's how companies operate. It's literally how governments function. I mean, have you ever heard of the power of attorney? It's the same idea. It's just different paperwork. But in our digital systems, you know, they still assume that we're all living on these little simple islands of one user, one device, no overlap, and no real good way to get help. When you're trying to act for someone else, you usually end up doing one of three things: sharing your password, which is bad and you know it, filling out some ancient form that looks like it was faxed back in 1992, or spending an afternoon trapped in, the ninth circle of customer support hell where nobody actually knows how to help you. And it's very frustrating. Delegation isn't a niche corner case. It's everyday life. And as more of that life moves online, especially with AI agents joining the party, the cracks in this old one-user model are turning into just an absolute nightmare. Let's talk about a real-world example using Bob and Alice, because in identity land, apparently everybody is named Bob and Alice. Alice manages all the medical and supplement accounts for her household. When she passes away, Bob needs access to those accounts. He needs to cancel stuff. He needs to update info. He needs to settle things, which, as it turns out, is not remotely simple. Because most sites don't support any real delegation, Bob's options are to somehow steal or, you know, figure out Alice's password, which sometimes is incredibly illegal, even though it may be romantic that, you know, he's trying to do this for her. Or fax, yes, fax death certificates around like, you know, it's last century. And even if he gets in, there's no way for the system to know he's acting for Alice, you know, with she said he could do it in her will or on her deathbed or whatnot. And it's not just some random fraudster. And if that sounds extreme, unfortunately, it's not. You know, that same mess shows up every time when a parent is helping a kid manage medical care, or an adult child handles online banking for an elderly parent, or a temp books meetings for an overwhelmed exec. Delegation is really the rule of how we behave, not an exception, and we designed all our systems to pretend otherwise. Now, let's make things way more fun, and by fun, I mean terrifying, by adding AI into the mix. Now, imagine this. You've got an AI assistant. It's not just a chatbot. This is a real functioning digital agent that can act on your behalf. It books flights. It orders groceries. It pays your electric bills. Moves money between accounts. Maybe it even negotiates your internet bill down because you're too emotionally exhausted to do it yourself. You've told it what it's allowed to do, and it works like a charm. Until it hits a wall. Because when it tries to do any of these things, update your address, authorize a payment, cancel a subscription, the system it's talking to says, "Who are you?" And more importantly, "Why should I trust you?" Right now, our digital infrastructure doesn't recognize that an AI agent might be acting for someone. There's no standard credential that says, "I'm an agent, I've been authorized, here's the scope of what I'm allowed to do, also, I'm not stealing anyone's identity." So instead, you either see this poor AI agent who's trying to act on your behalf, getting blocked at every turn, with the response of, sorry, I need to speak to the account holder, or it does get through, but there's no audit trails, there's no boundaries, there's not actually a good way to revoke that access if something goes sideways. It's kind of a nightmare scenario, whichever way you look at it. Either it's too locked down to be useful, or it's too wide open to be safe. And this isn't theoretical. Visa and MasterCard have released, you know, AI agents into the world that absolutely can act on your behalf and do these things. People are already trying to plug AI agents into banking tools, medical apps, productivity workflows. The tools just weren't built to support real delegation, not to humans, and definitely not to autonomous software. And if we don't fix that, AI is going to hit a really interesting wall, or worse, it won't hit that wall until after it's emptied your checking account. Now, to be fair, it's not like no one's, you know, avoided trying to fix this. People have been trying to fix this. There have been several attempts at trying to fix this. A protocol called OAuth 2.0, really focused on Alice sharing to Alice, in that you're granting limited permissions to something like an app, but it still looks like you did everything. So it still looks like Alice is doing all the things, though what she did was granted permission to an app, and that's it. There was an effort called the User Managed Access, or UMA, which was a beautiful idea where Bob acts for Alice, but he's acting as Bob. Everything knows it's Bob, but there's permissions there. Unfortunately, it's not particularly well adopted. Okay, well, what about OAuth Token Exchange? Well, that's now getting into the deep, geeky weeds of it, and it's great for back-end services, but it doesn't actually work particularly well for real humans. And then there's a concept called persona chaining, which you create sub-identities, then you lose track of them almost immediately, so what could possibly go wrong? Each of these models tackles a piece of the problem. None of them nails the whole thing, especially once you need fine-grained context limits, real audit trails, or expiration dates that don't involve sticky notes on someone's monitor to remind you to go do a thing. Now, do you think that the enterprise world is better? Now, that would be a nice world to live in somewhere. But that world isn't here, because in the enterprise, it's actually worse. HR managers need to submit forms on behalf of employees. Instead of targeted delegation, you can submit vacation requests, but not access salary data. They get handed full admin rights to see everything about the employees, because it's just easier. Executive assistants, they submit expenses for executives all the time, and that totally sounds fine, until the auditors start digging through the logs and find a $6,000 in first-class upgrades and mystery spa charges. And because delegation was just, you know, well, just log in as the boss, the audit trail says the executives themselves made the purchases. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. You know, when I was researching this post, I really had to ask how realistic that use case was, because I was thinking it was coming up as anecdotal. And I was like, really? Really? Alas, the answer was, yeah, this is absolutely still a realistic problem today, especially in organizations that use older or very lightly customized ERP or expense systems without proper delegation controls. So things like Concur, Oracle, SAP, or organizations that lack fine-grained role-based access control or policy-based access control, organizations that still rely on shared credentials or informal workflows to speed up processes, or organizations that don't have strong audit trail practices that distinguish between the initiator, the approver, and the submitter. This is all pretty common in, you know, underfunded companies, certainly, but even in well-funded companies, delegation is often implemented as temporary access or shared accounts or admin overrides, which makes tracking who did what basically impossible. It's one of those shadow IT behaviors that happens despite policy, but not because of it. Audit trails in many systems log what happened, but not necessarily who was acting for whom. So unless the system supports delegated authority as a first-class principal with identities and scopes and constraints and signatures, it will still look like the executive hit submit themselves, not an assistant, not a delegate. Every time delegation gets handled badly, it slows down work. It adds friction. It adds risk. It creates invisible labor of chasing approvals, fixing mistakes, and handling security exceptions. And many companies don't realize how many workarounds their people are already using until something catches fire. We're coming back to this concept that delegation really isn't an edge case. It's just normal life across departments and across industries. And alas, we cannot keep ignoring it, because it's just going to keep things broken. So here's what we need to do. We need ways for people and agents to prove that they have the right to act for someone else, that they are exactly who they say they are, and that their actions are constrained, auditable, and revocable. Without that, delegation stays kind of chaotic, insecure, and pretty ugly. And as AI agents get more powerful, there's no clean delegation, which means there's no real automation. Now, fixing this isn't going to be easy. It's going to mean making changes at the base level protocols, upgrading OAuth and UMA models, which means standards development, and that's never a fast process. It means building things like verifiable credentials into real world systems. Again, that's an interesting cost and something that I'll be exploring later. Or, you know, create better governance models that aren't just like hope and vibes. And yeah, all of this faces just this huge amount of technical debt, so large it's got like its own zip code, because even as you update the protocols, that doesn't update the software itself to support the new protocols. So there's a lot of work to do, and it's not just at the standards level, it's actually at the application level that apps will have to change to take advantage of new capabilities. If we want a digital world that actually works the way real life works, then delegation has to become just a first-class feature. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in part two, where I'll be digging into where the current models fall short and, you know, what it's going to take to build delegation that doesn't suck. And that's it for this week's episode of the Digital Identity Digest. If it helps make things a little clearer, or at least a little more interesting, share it with a friend or colleague and connect with me on LinkedIn at HL Flanagan. And if you enjoyed the show, do be sure to subscribe and leave me a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find the written full post at sphericalcowconsulting.com. Now stay curious, stay engaged, and let's get these conversations going.